Donald Trump's actual wealth has pretty much always been up for debate. Hell, he literally just lost a case where he was found guilty of overinflating his wealth in order to secure better loans in the state of New York. But the general assumption has been that, yeah, I mean, he does have a lot of money, though it's a net worth that has almost certainly dropped significantly over the years as the urgency of his marketing emails, which constantly and desperately beg regular Americans for cash, have become more and more frequent and more urgent.
Please, this is your last chance,
Donnie
Patriot.
Donnie needs your money.
Well, thanks to the various judgments against him recently, it looks as though the veil is actually dropping, and when push comes to shove, Trump just doesn't have the money to pay his bills, despite repeatedly claiming that he'd have more than enough to easily cover all of this.
He needs to put down the avocado toast.
That's right. His lawyer, Alina Haba, said the following during an interview just a few short weeks ago.
Now, I know that you're planning on appealing this, but you've still got to put up the full amount pending that appeal. Does Donald Trump have that kind of money sitting around?
Yes. I mean, he does. Of course he has money. You know, he's a billionaire. We know that.
Turns out that was a lie. Mm-hmm. And on Monday of this week, Trump's lawyers admitted in a court filing that it would be literally, quote, impossible, unquote, for him to cover the bond that's needed in order to appeal his case. We know it can get confusing when we talk about Trump's court cases, his settlements, his verdicts, his appeals, and so on. There are so many cases happening within a short time frame.
I can't juggle all of these court cases and felonies.
Uh-huh. So, but yeah, this one relates to the previously mentioned New York case where he was accused and found guilty of business fraud. In order to appeal the verdict, he would have to come up with over $450 million. And despite claiming that he's worth billions and billions and billions of dollars, he simply can't seem to find the cash necessary to post bond. Shake a few more couch cushions, buddy. I'm sure it's there.
Open up those mattresses. You were saving for a rainy day, and now it's raining. It is pouring outside.
The way this man keeps track of things, I'm sure there's a box somewhere in Mar-a-Lago with the $450 million.
That's the excuse he should use. He should be like,
I had it, but they took the boxes.
The feds took all the boxes, including the one with all the money in it.
It was my money box.
That just more, everyone's targeting Trump, and they stole all my money. So until they return that money, I obviously will not be able to pay this fine. Here's CNBC. Donald Trump does not have enough cash to obtain an appeal bond that would prevent New York's attorney general from seizing his real estate assets to satisfy a $454 million civil fraud judgment, his lawyers indicated in a court filing Monday. The filing asks a panel of five Manhattan appeals court judges to let Trump avoid having to post a bond while he challenges a judge's verdict that he, the Trump Organization, and other defendants committed business fraud. If the panel does not approve that request, Attorney General Letitia James could begin a process to seize Trump's properties on March 25th. James, who had successfully sued Trump in the case, previously said that she would take that step if he did not post an appeal bond or pay off the judgment. The filing in Manhattan Supreme Court's appellate division says Trump's team contacted about 30 surety companies, but did not find one willing to underwrite the bond. Trump, who has secured the Republican presidential nomination, in a deposition last year, claimed to have substantially in excess of $400 million in cash.
Turns out not so much.
Despite that, Monday's nearly 5,000-page court filing by his lawyers detailed his inability to get a bond to secure the full judgment. So, okay, a couple things that are funny. Seizing Trump's real estate assets.
What are they going to call Trump Tower if they take the Trump off of it? They should call it the Joe Biden Tower.
Yeah. Also the fact that he...
The Hillary Clinton Tower.
That this in particular was a court case against him doing business fraud by overinflating his wealth to secure loans. And now he can't secure what is essentially a loan to get the bond.
Yeah, there is some fun circular sort of logic behind all this, and couldn't have happened to a greater guy.
That's right.
The filing includes an affirmation from Gary Giulietti, president of the Northeast Division of the Lochtan Companies, which he describes as the largest privately held insurance brokerage firm in the world. Giulietti, who was hired by Trump to help him get a bond, wrote, "Despite scouring the market, we've been unsuccessful in our effort for the simple reason that obtaining an appeal bond for $464 million is a practical impossibility under the circumstances presented." Only a handful of bond surety companies are approved by the Treasury Department to underwrite a bond that large, and many of those firms will only issue a single bond to a maximum of $100 million, Giulietti wrote. He also said that none of those companies will accept non-liquid assets, such as real estate, as collateral.
He can't even put up his buildings as collateral. He's so... I can't say that he's fucked because he always finds a way out.
He's having a bad time.
But this is not fun.
Yeah, he's having a bad time. A much worse time than he'd have had if he just, like, not ran for president and continued being rich and famous.
Yeah.
For the rest of his life.
You don't understand.
This is a curse of his own building.
These surety companies, they don't understand. I'm not liquid. All the money is tied up in Trump NFTs and the Trump coin. Don't they know that I'm good for it? Haven't you seen the NFTs?
I mean, this is interesting because, like, this is literally, it's not Chapter 11, I don't think, but there's a specific bankruptcy chapter specifically for this exact scenario where you're not liquid, but you have lots of other assets, and the government will come help you, figure out a plan for dealing with
and
that.
And she's about to help him.
We'll see. So yeah, they also note that Trump already has a bond for the E. Jean Carroll case to the tune of $91.6 million, but that the company who issued him that bond refused to do so for the New York fraud case. What, you need another one?
We're already in the hole, $100
million. Oh my God. He's like running around New York like Adam Sandler in Uncut Gems, trying to find, trying to get a good bond.
Listen, you give me this $500 million, I'm going to turn it into a billion overnight.
Meanwhile, the interest on the settlement continues to go up at a rate of $112,000 a day while he and his legal team attempt to get the judgment overturned or reduced.
And this would make sense with the story last week that Donald Trump met with Elon Musk for... Everyone assumes that it was asking money. Elon Musk has obviously, and in the Don Lemon interview, said that it was nothing like that. But, okay, first of all, did you watch the interview?
The Don Lemon one?
Yeah.
I mean, just the clips he... posted originally.
I watched a good bit of the whole thing, and it is excruciating to watch because Musk is like, he feels cornered and can't get the words that he wants out, and he feels very, it's a very weird watch, and it's annoying to watch because he can't spit the words out correctly.
Yeah.
But with this one, he's like, oh no, I was at a friend's house, and Donald Trump simply came over for breakfast. You know, things that happen normally, as if that couldn't, it wouldn't be possible that that wasn't planned. And he's like, man, no, he didn't ask for money, and I won't be giving any money to anyone.
Okay, so. Well, whatever.
But yes, it would make sense that he would come ask one of the richest people.
Hey, Elon, my favorite South African.
Yeah.
My favorite African-American, am I right? You ever hear that one?
Be real easy to make all of these problems go away once the big guy's president, huh? But first, I need a favor. A little thing called I can't say that word, actually. They told me not to say it. Quid pro quo. I'm going to do it anyway. Should I say it, folks?
Before we move on from Trump for the day, we should probably at least mention the fact that at his rally in Ohio this past weekend, he literally stood and saluted during a rendition of the national anthem sung by people who participated in the insurrection on the U.S. Capitol, which started with, "Please rise for the horribly and unfairly treated January 6th hostages."
Ladies and gentlemen, please rise for the horribly and unfairly treated January 6th hostages.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light?
Yeah, that's...
Was this the same rally where afterwards he was caught on a hot mic talking about how much he admires Kim Jong-un?
I don't know if it was the same rally, but that clip was from this weekend. He was talking to, Peter Doocy from Fox News?
Yeah, Kim Jong-un, he's got it all figured out. You know, he stands up and the people, they bow before him.
They listen, the clip is basically like, when he talks, they listen.
Yeah.
And he's like, I want my people to do that. And it's like, do you understand what you're saying? He does understand what he's saying.
He absolutely does.
But this was it caught on a quote-unquote hot mic.
And it's like, people were like, oh, we got him. It's like, he's been saying shit like this for 8 years. Like, in a normal timeline, this would be disqualifying for someone to say if they're running for president, but nothing matters
anymore. He said he would be a dictator on day one and then talked his way out of it by saying, I only meant the one day.
Just one day where we fix all the problems and then back to not being a dictator.
So I don't think this is going to change anyone's opinion, especially now. So. No. It's still just categorically insane shit. Like, it's wild to stand there and salute during a national anthem performed by January 6th insurrectionists, especially with that intro. And then his speech after that was like, And we do call them hostages, folks. We do that.
They should, I mean, like, I get why they did the national anthem. They should have come up with a new song, like the Super Bowl Shuffle, but for insurrectionists.
Sure.
We Are the World for insurrectionists.
Yeah.
Could I have, like, more fun with that? Get more topical with the lyrics. You know, let some soloists really shine.
I'm surprised they didn't change the lyrics. And I'm sure that's coming in the next Trump presidency. But anyways, we're still a few months away from the actual election. So don't worry. Things will get worse. And all of this stuff is certainly just testing the waters. That water is boiling very slow, but it is going to start boiling at some point.
It's boiling slow. I don't feel a thing, so...
So everything must be fine. Actually,
nothing
feels,
to worry about.
Feels pretty good right about
yeah,
now.
I think I'm going to stay here.
Said the frog.
Yeah.
Every time this happens, it honestly, from my perspective, just feels like we are sleepwalking into a dictatorship. And I keep looking around wondering, why isn't anyone doing anything? And they're trying, I guess, but anyways, elsewhere in government news, the fallout from Congress's decision to essentially ban TikTok unless ByteDance sells it off to one of our own homegrown farm-to-table tyrants is, of course, not going over well with the app's millions upon millions of users who rely on it for entertainment and, in some cases, their income. One congressman in particular who voted for the TikTok ban just so happens to have his own very popular TikTok account that he used to connect with his constituents. And he is now getting inundated with hate mail for his blatant hypocrisy.
So yeah, Jeff Jackson, a Democrat from North Carolina, voted to pass the TikTok bill while also having an account with 2.3 million followers where he posted content and courted voters that wouldn't have known about him or been involved in local politics otherwise. After the House passed the bill, he posted a totally tone-deaf video to TikTok that celebrated the bill, much to the dismay and confusion of his followers.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's admitting that he screwed up and is begging all those followers to please stop yelling at him.
He also deleted that first video. Oh, my bad.
I'm being canceled. Cancel culture strikes again.
Mm-hmm.
Here's Gizmodo. Congressman Jeff Jackson's latest TikTok video starts simply, "I apologize. I did not handle this situation well from top to bottom, and that is why I have been completely roasted on this app over the last 48 hours," Jackson said on TikTok Sunday. "And I get it. If I were in your shoes, I would probably feel the same way. I would see someone who used this app to build a following and appears to have voted against it, and I would be upset."
Jackson posted a video celebrating the bill on the day it passed the House, presenting the argument against the app and suggesting a ban is unlikely. The video backfired, and after widespread criticism, Jackson pulled it off of TikTok. Users posted countless viral videos lambasting the congressman, some suggesting he's on Meta's payroll, which Jackson categorically denies. Jackson isn't the only TikTok-using member of Congress to vote against the app, but as the app's biggest influencer politician, criticism against him was the loudest. After the TikTok bill passed, Jackson lost hundreds of thousands of followers. Oh no, my followers!
My followers!
Also, is this the first time that a sitting politician has done the standard social media apology video?
I don't know.
Because they count as an influencer, they're on TikTok with that many followers.
Did this guy even do that? Do we know that he said?
Yeah, he said,
"Hey guys."
Hey guys.
You got to do the deep sigh.
Unfortunate
then,
news.
Hey guys.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, in other news related to the government banning things, apparently asbestos, the cancer-causing carcinogen that used to line the walls of countless buildings and homes, was not banned decades ago and was still being used, though not as frequently as it was during the preceding decades.
Yeah, this was very... I had to check the calendar. What year is this?
Huh?
Because, yeah...
We got rid of that.
I was under the impression that we stopped using asbestos, 50 years ago, but I guess not.
Well, good news, Elliot. They're finally getting around to actually banning it outright, which has led many to wonder if and when conservatives are going to somehow come out in support of asbestos.
Trump previously literally has talked up asbestos.
It works well and it's cheap.
It's a shame. It's messed up that the government stopped us from using asbestos.
So,
if the Twin Towers had asbestos, they wouldn't have burned down. I believe he said that.
But he's happy they did because then he had the tallest tower in Manhattan.
Also, I think it did have asbestos in it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Probably. They were built in the 70s.
Yeah.
So, anyways, yes, I fully see a future where conservatives, they replace the gas stove on the Don't Tread on Me flag, and they put just a pile of asbestos there. I've seen mock-ups of it on Twitter already. just waiting for him to embrace it.
Yeah, it's a sticker with like a man who doesn't have mesothelioma and Joe Biden pointing at him and be like, I did that.
Yeah. A guy just inhaling asbestos with mesothelioma just ravaging his lungs that says, come and take it.
Yeah.
So yeah, this is very similar to the gas stove bans, which wasn't even a real thing at the time.
Nope.
It was a suggestion from a consumer protection agency, and then Joe Biden was like, I'm not signing this into law.
Yeah, I mean, something like a gas stove ban has been sort of put into place in, like, I think New York and San Francisco. But
not a nationwide ban.
But even there, it's like a 20-year plan.
And as we said previously, a lot of places in the South didn't even have gas stoves.
Yeah.
They're all electric stoves, and they have been for 3 or 4 decades. But they were the ones that got so angry about it.
Well, you know,
I might not have one, but if I did, I'd want to be able to use it.
That's right. I'm just a temporarily embarrassed electric stove owner.
Someone's going to have like a house fire. Hopefully no one gets hurt or whatever, but some conservative is going to have a house fire. And he's going to be like, you know, that wouldn't have happened if Joe Biden didn't take my asbestos away.
Okay.
Yeah, sure.
So, the asbestos ban, however, it is a real thing. And before people even start pointing fingers at government officials, this ban is just making good on a bill that passed Congress with bipartisan support all the way back in 2016. Still, we, like everyone else, are curious as to whether or not this will cause conservatives to, you know, all of a sudden come out against an asbestos ban, which would be very funny.
Yeah, do it.
I think they're going to at least test it.
Yeah.
You know, they're gonna
push Lauren Boebert out there as the sacrificial lamb. Be like, look, you're probably not getting reelected. Just go test the waters.
Every day, they got shooters online testing out just every possible take and seeing what sticks. That's how we got like the Sydney Sweeney thing, which
has gotten to levels that I literally cannot count.
That
comprehend.
One, like, I think that one kind of that was a dud. It made it into like columns and more mainstream stuff, but I think they gave up. But that Richard Hanania guy who like first started pushing it, he's still like regularly posting about Sydney Sweeney. She was at the GLAAD Awards. A picture of her at the awards ceremony, like, oh God, those gays must be so triggered. The Democrats can't even stop their wokest institutions from being infiltrated by Sydney Sweeney's giant cans.
Yeah, it's bizarre.
Anyways, back to the asbestos. Mm-hmm. I'm trying as best as I can to stay on topic here.
Go on.
Here's the Associated Press with more on this. The Environmental Protection Agency on Monday announced a comprehensive ban on asbestos, a carcinogen that kills tens of thousands of Americans every year, but is still used in some chlorine bleach, brake pads, and other brake pads? Really?
They do get hot.
The final rule marks a major expansion of EPA regulation under a landmark 2016 law that overhauled regulations governing tens of thousands of toxic chemicals in everyday products, from household cleaners to clothing and furniture. The new rule would ban chrysotile asbestos, the only ongoing use of asbestos in the United States. The substance is found in products such as brake linings and gaskets and is used to manufacture chlorine bleach and sodium hydroxide, also known as caustic soda, including some that is used for water purification. EPA Administrator Michael Regan called the final rule a major step to protect public health.
With today's ban, EPA is finally slamming the door on a chemical so dangerous that it has been banned in over 50 countries, Regan said. This historic ban is more than 30 years in the making, and it's thanks to amendments that Congress made in 2016 to fix the Toxic Substances Control Act, the main U.S. law governing use of chemicals. Exposure to asbestos is known to cause lung cancer, mesothelioma, and other cancers, and it is linked to more than 40,000 deaths in the U.S. each year. The EPA banned asbestos in 1989, but the rule was largely overturned by a 1991 Court of Appeals decision that weakened the EPA's authority under TSCA to address risks to human health from asbestos and other existing chemicals. The 2016 law required the EPA to evaluate chemicals and put in place protections against unreasonable risks. And should probably point out that the ban was overturned during the first Bush administration when his team guided the EPA not to appeal the ruling against it. And in the argument, I read a bit of the argument, and it was like, asbestos is a naturally occurring thing.
It's got the word best right in there. What are we doing?
The new bill to help finally ban asbestos, it was signed by Obama, but only after hitting his desk with bipartisan support from Congress. So I'm sure this will get referred to as the Biden asbestos ban, though. And by the way, as of when we filmed this, I did see at least one pro-asbestos conservative take on the timeline, and I made sure that this was like an active account and not just like someone trolling or whatever, but it's an account called Modern Patriot, who responded to the AP's article about this ban and said, "This is going to hurt American manufacturing and drive costs up. You people realize that it's used in everything from brake pads to drywall, right?"
That's the thing, though, buddy. It's not used in drywall.
No,
not
anymore. Stopped it because it was literally killing people.
Yeah. Good thing it's not used in drywall because all the fucking Kyles in this country.
Dude, they've been punching that shit like crazy.
Oh
they've
my God.
Watch out.
If you know a Kyle, he's here today, alive, thanks to taking asbestos out of the drywall.
My favorite drywall punching meme is the guy who was like watching Chicken Little, and no one believes him. It's infuriating. And it's a picture of him with a drywall punched out, and it says, "Had to turn it off." No one's listening. He says the sky's falling, and no one's listening.
Infuriating. All right, we have more coming up for you in just a second, including some gamer news for all the gamers.
Mm-hmm.
But first, let's take a second to thank today's sponsor for supporting the show.
Yeah.
You probably already know them. You probably already love them. It's Shopify, the best platform for shopping, hosting your own business, and keeping track of all your shipments all in one place.
Mm-hmm.
There are a ton of amazing duos out there in the world. We are a perfect example, mm-hmm. of course. But the best duo is, of course, Shopify and you. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow.
Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, up to 36% better compared to other leading commerce platforms. No matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. We love Shopify's simple and easy to use app because it keeps track of all your online shipments. You can even connect other platforms so that your tracking is all in one place.
Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's extensive help resources are there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/itdaily, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/itdaily now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/itdaily.
All right, back to the news now. And guess what? New Twitch meta just dropped. Can you guess what it is, Elliot?
I haven't the faintest clue.
Gone are the days, the freewheeling days of body painting and hot tubbing and wearing a tube top while having the camera pointed just high enough that it looks like you're completely topless.
Yes, yes.
The new Twitch meta that is driving a bunch of weirdos absolutely insane is butt streaming. It's exactly what it sounds
butt
like.
Butt streaming?
It's wearing bright colored short shorts and keying out the color so that the gameplay is projected directly onto the ass of the streamer.
Oh my God.
So it's a camera pointed down at their butt, and their butt is a green screen, but like totally like flesh formed, like it's up in there and stuff. So it looks like a butt. And the woman's playing Fortnite. And so you can see her hands doing it, and then the butt is the gameplay.
Okay.
MorgPie, the streamer behind this new meta, which, according to Kotaku, started with her watching Moist Critical videos projected onto her butt, and then evolved into just showing live Fortnite gameplay using her ass as a picture-in-picture. Honestly, great. Awesome. Just when we thought there weren't any new ways to innovate and anger Twitch users, someone gets creative. They break the mold. It's awesome. You love to see it. And according to Kotaku's reporting, everyone is already jumping on board and adding more content to boobs and butts all over the site.
Other Twitch streamers have joined in on the platform's newest meta. A handful of creators are playing games on anime titties. Some VTubers are displaying gameplay on anime thighs and entire bodies for some strange reason. Sex sells, after all, and the platform is no stranger to nudity, artistically implied or otherwise. Hell, even Hassan Hasanabi Piker got in on the fun, tweeting an image on March 16th of him squatting weights with Fortnite gameplay on his ass. For her part, MorgPie is enabling this Twitchception, posting to Twitter on March 17th an image of her green-screened butt, in case anyone wants to use it. Not everyone is thrilled about all this ass on screen, though. "Twitch is cooked, man," one popular tweet reads. This is the craziest thing I've ever seen on Twitch, reads another. Wrong. What if Fortnite streams turn into, wonders a third Twitter post.
Yeah, and we predicted it at the beginning of the year that this would be the last year of Twitch as we know it.
It's over, guys.
Not that this wouldn't have made sense in previous Twitch years, but between the massive rounds of layoffs and just the dwindling support for the site, it seems like it's going to be a write-off for Amazon. They actually, other Twitch news, their April 2nd is the last day that you can do the watch-along, Prime Video watch-along stuff.
Oh, yeah. Party mode or whatever. They're shutting this thing down.
Yeah. They've tried everything. They did football on there. They did Prime Video available on there. They did watch-along access. It's Jover.
It's Jover.
Mm-hmm. But not to be outdone by the Coomers on Twitch. Someone committed an actual crime over the weekend by apparently cranking their hog during a screening of that new Kristen Stewart movie, Love Lies Bleeding, and then falling asleep with their dong out and waking up to handcuffs. Because, yeah, that'll happen. You committed a sex crime.
Yeah, you can't jack off in the movie theater. Just ask Pee Wee Herman.
But he did it in a porno theater in the 90s when there were no other options.
And he didn't fall asleep with his dick out. He did it discreetly.
Yeah, he stared in that detective's eyes and he finished.
He did nothing wrong, actually.
That's right. So I don't know what's wrong with people. I don't know if this is like post-COVID brain rot. Because this is a wide-ranging problem. People don't know how to behave themselves in any situation.
In several ways. Like, obviously doing this is bad, but then someone took a picture of this man passed out with his dick out and like... I'm like, I feel like I shouldn't be seeing this either. This feels like a crime.
This also feels wrong.
It's like you committed a crime documenting someone else's crime.
Uh-huh. So, yeah, there were rumors that something like this happened during Madam Web screenings due to Sydney Sweeney ending wokeness on the screen.
Yeah.
But this weekend, as Elliot pointed out, we got photographic proof of someone doing it during another movie that features incredibly attractive women. Women that could get you in a chokehold and squeeze you till you pass out.
That's right.
That's why they love it, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, we can't show you the photo, but yeah, I mean, it's out there and it's someone sitting there passed out with their willy dangling. Another sign that the pandemic has mentally destroyed
people. They made movie theater seats too comfortable.
That's right.
We need to go back to
couches.
Yeah, we need to go back to feeling like you're sitting in a church pew, just in discomfort and pain the whole time.
Oh, man. I love the comfortable seats, so I don't co-sign on that. But yes, I agree that people are being very weird in public, specifically at, like, live performances.
Yeah.
Where even the performers have had to stop and instruct people to please be normal.
Yeah. Stop jacking
off. So just jack off at home, like a normal person. Okay? Now, what's even more bizarre about this story is that, and this is weird.
This was very strange.
A24 tweeted about the incident in order to promote the movie.
Yeah.
Which is wild.
Now in theaters.
Hey, come see what all the hubbub's about. Yeah. You won't believe it either. And also, there was some other, like, this guy like snuck in liquor and cigarettes too. Like,
the picture of him passed out with his willy, he's got like so much just like stuff just like spread out around
him. This is like if one of the Trailer Park Boys went to the movie theater. Here's the full story from Variety.
A moviegoer at MJR Southgate Cinema in suburban Detroit was arrested for allegedly engaging in lewd behavior during a screening of the new Kristen Stewart movie, Love Lies Bleeding. The Southgate Police Department confirmed to Variety that a patron was arrested after a Thursday night screening of the noirish thriller and is still in police custody as of Friday morning. He has not yet been arraigned and no charges have been brought forth. Love Lies Bleeding is a sexually charged film about a pair of lesbian lovers that is set in the world of bodybuilding. A not safe for work photo of a man asleep in a reclining movie theater chair with his penis exposed was posted by Twitter/X user @uglyxkorean, who captioned the image, "Went to go see Love Lies Bleeding, and this drunk guy jacked himself off to sleep." On the table next to the chair were several items, including two small bottles of liquor, a pack of cigarettes, and his ticket.
I know I paid for this seat. I can do whatever I want. Why am I being arrested? For enjoying a movie? A succulent lesbian movie?
This is democracy manifest.
Nice chuckle. Are you ready to accept my penis?
A24, so they quote tweeted this entire article and added a trailer for the film over the weekend.
Come see what all the fuss is about.
Yeah, so we're actually curious as to whether or not someone fucked the popcorn bucket during Dune, for real.
Yeah, because I thought that was just a joke, but now I'm wondering if that was serious.
Yeah, I want some of that. Like, what that Shai Halud do?
I absolutely am sure that at least one person went home and fucked it. Yeah. Like, there is no way that with that many people getting that many popcorn buckets, that not one person didn't get a
Someone fucked it, yeah.
Yeah, someone did, but in the theater, not sure. Don't do this.
Yeah.
Please be normal. Please be normal.
Everyone got so used to watching movies at home during the pandemic.
Here's where I
forgot how to behave in public.
Here's where I will agree with you on the chairs. We're going to get roasted in the comments for this because everyone does want to be comfortable, and I agree. But there should be a limit on how far you can recline, because specifically at the ones here, like the Dolby Atmos theater, you can pretty much lay down, flat.
It's ridiculous.
And this person is, like, fully laid down. If this person was, forced to hunch over, maybe they would have passed out, but it wouldn't have been as obvious. They would have been hunched over their penis.
I mean, what's next? A fucking bathtub in every seat? Come on.
Oh, what? I can't jerk off in this bathtub? Thought this was America. Anyways, back to gaming for a second, because apparently the esports tournament for the game Apex Legends is officially postponed because hackers infiltrated the accounts of some of the competitors and equipped them with cheats during the matches.
Oh, what?
Yeah. During the matches, certain exploits started popping up onto their screens, like identifying the locations of other players, and in one case, giving a pro player an aimbot live. So there's footage of these hacks taking place, which is wild because you could very easily imagine how weird it must have felt for the people competing and how stressful it must have been to explain that they were being hacked during a live competition.
Jesus, this is mortifying.
The guy had to take his hands off. He's like, I didn't do this. In a statement, the official Apex Legends account said the following. Due to the competitive integrity of this series being compromised, we have made the decision to postpone the North America finals at this time. We will share more information too. And as many have pointed out, EA very famously just laid off a fuck ton of people.
Yeah.
And maybe, maybe not, but you would assume that with more people having eyes on these kinds of tournaments and the game, there might be a little more in place to stop this from happening.
Yeah, maybe.
Sure.
It's a wild thing, though. Like, what was the point of this? This is just to sow chaos.
Yeah.
That's
why
crazy.
Some of them do it.
Anyway, here's more from The Verge. Two professional players from major teams were targeted while live streaming on Sunday by an attack that forcibly applied advantage-granting cheats during competitive gameplay. The cause of these attacks hasn't been officially verified, leading to speculation that the hack may have been delivered via Apex Legends' anti-cheat protections. Oh, no. An exchange posted by a cheat monitoring account on X claims that the attacker found an RCE, or remote code execution, exploit to run their code directly on the player's computers. A Twitch clip of Dark Zero's Noyon Jenburton Ozkosi shows a UI interface for aimbot software appearing on his screen at the same moment that a message reading Apex Hacking Global Series by Destroyer 2009 and Random begins repeatedly spamming chat. I'm getting hacked, Jen Burton said, while raising his hands to show he was no longer in control. Jen Burton noticed he could see other players through walls and promptly abandoned the match.
Crazy. Anyways, finally today, Mr. Beast is going mainstream. Not that he could get any more mainstream than he already is, what with his burgers.
No, he broke up. Friendship with Mr. Beast Burger ended a long time ago.
His chocolate, which is... it's still out there.
Yeah, and if you see it at the store, you make sure it's nice and tidy.
You front that chocolate. And also his billions of views. But people still view traditional media as this behemoth, where you're essentially still a nobody unless you work on an official studio production. Like, it's just a weird kind of barrier.
He's bigger than any of those. Like,
I know.
What's the point? The only point would just be, like, legitimacy.
Yeah.
Even though that sense of legitimacy is really less and less important these days.
Well, he's officially made it now and is producing the biggest competition series deal in TV history, where the winner of his new Amazon show will take home $5 million. And at this point, we have to wonder if it won't eventually turn into an actual version of Squid Game, which he already recreated.
Yeah.
Here's the Washington Post with more on the Mr. Beast show.
The show, called Beast Games, would be the first foray into traditional entertainment by Mr. Beast, whose real name is Jimmy Donaldson. Donaldson has soared to success on YouTube in recent years, becoming the individual with the most subscribers on the platform. Beast Games will consist of 1,000 contestants competing for a $5 million cash prize, the largest single prize that's ever been offered on television or streaming. Donaldson will host and executive produce the show, which will be available in 240 countries and territories. Mr. Beast has captured the attention and imagination of fans of all ages, from all walks of life and all over the world. Jennifer Salke, head of Amazon MGM Studios, said in a statement, "We are excited to work with Jimmy and his talented team to bring his brilliant high production and stakes-raising concepts to Beast Games for our global customers to experience." Amazon beat out at least one other major streaming service to land the deal, according to The Hollywood Reporter, and Donaldson will have creative control over the show.
Cool. I think they're going to have, just my opinion, I think they're going to have a rude awakening with how views transfer to different platforms.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, we're going to get, no problem, we're going to get like hundreds of millions of views.
Yeah, we got, no, he gets this many views on YouTube. Imagine how many views he's going to get on TV.
Yeah, on Amazon, like the huge platform. Surely everyone is going, this is going to transfer over, like it always historically does,
yeah,
to traditional media.
But
good for him, get the bag, I guess.
Everything I read about Jimmy Donaldson, I get the strong impression he has an absolutely miserable life. He has created just a prison of his own design. He doesn't do anything for fun. He like doesn't see the sun for
days
at a time.
Can't go out in public. Yeah.
Yeah, he has no life outside of his videos.
Even if he went out in public, he'd probably get hounded for money from people.
Yeah, it's like, it does not seem like, I don't know. I feel like if anyone needs to burn out, it's probably him.
Yeah, well, maybe this is an exit plan. Like, I got studio, studio money, yeah, and I can leave now, but like, I don't think that's gonna happen.
Spin this shit off, because like, even like in his own videos, which I haven't seen a whole lot of, it's like, it's literally just him being like, all right, that's cool, let's go see this other thing.
He should do what Blippi did and hire a new Blippi.
Yeah. Is Blippi 2 still the current Blippi?
They go back and forth, I think.
Oh, that's weird.
At least when I check.
Does Blippi think children are stupid?
They're not, because my friend has a kid that watched Blippi and was like, why is there a new Blippi? And that's how I knew that they switched back and forth. Yeah. I was like, let me look at the channel. And I was like, it's weird, because there's some with original Blippi, and there's some with new Blippi.
Damn.
Yeah, well. Good for him. Hopefully he's able to live a normal life at some point, because it sounds like he has created his own prison. And
yeah, like, yeah, it sounds like he's like forgotten how to be just a person in a lot of ways. It's dark.
Yeah, he said he had to like pretty much do away with any actual personality.
He's because like personality, like if, by having any personality, you are inevitably going to alienate someone. Yeah. So by leaving your personality as just like a blank slate, you have the most mass appeal. And I'm like, that is an incredibly depressing way to describe what you admit is like 99.9% of your everyday life. Like you, this is just your life.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
Huh. Anyways, personal best. I've completed the marathon.
He won. I got first place in the marathon.
That's not true. That's no.
Yeah, Ricky is in the LA Times. First place. He beat Bearson.
No, I did meet Bearson though. He ran past me.
Yeah.
Obviously better at keeping a consistent pace, because I started out fast and then obviously slowed down
a bit.
But
slow and steady.
Barely over 4 hours. 4 hours would have been my ultimate amazing, I can't believe it goal, because I did just come
so
back from like an injury.
6.5 miles per hour on average.
I don't know. It was a 9 minute and 30 second pace per mile. So how,
wow.
I don't know. Math is hard.
Pretty good.
But it was great. I had a great time. The last 5 miles were torture. I finished and I was like, I don't recommend anyone ever doing this. I can't, we have stairs. I can't walk down them. I have to take an elevator. Everything hurts.
Well, you learned a very important lesson.
But I did it, and life goal complete. Can't wait for the next one, I guess. Maybe. I don't know. We'll see.
You going to do this again?
Maybe. I don't know. It was fun until it wasn't. The last All 5 miles were torture, but like, it was fun until then.
All right.
Got to see the city. I haven't seen the Chinese Theater in a couple years, so it was nice to run by that.
I liked seeing the city, too.
Yeah. Well,
in a car. No, I see the appeal.
Yeah, it's fine. All right, well, yes, that's just a personal note. Thank you. And make sure you like the video and leave a comment and subscribe to the channel. And if you want more videos, we'll have more coming up in the next day or two. But if you want more now, we have weekly weird news about our favorite Australian, not our favorite, but an Australian recreating the Titanic.
Yes.
And an episode of News Dump. So check both of those out, and we will see you soon.
Bye.
Bye.